The book of Luke, chapter 24 this morning. The book of Luke, chapter number 24 this morning. You will stand to your feet. We'll read these first 12 verses and we'll pray. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I want to preach this morning on some evidences of the resurrection. Father, I ask that you would help us today that we might see through the lattice work into eternity to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to know that his hand has been upon this earth from creation all the way through eternity, which is in the future. God, he sees the saints of God already in glory. Father, I pray that today that you would help us to preach concrete evidence, and even greater than that, that Jesus has been resurrected bodily, glorified, and is coming again. Father, we ask now your blessing upon the service. Convict hearts, I pray, God. Send courage today, God, and help someone today, Lord, to choose Jesus in conversion. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. One of the greatest preachers, in my opinion, was Charles Spurgeon. And he said there are three great pillars of the faith. The first one is the incarnation. That is, that Jesus was born of a virgin. And the second one was the crucifixion. That the Son of God laid down his life on a cruel cross, taking upon himself my sin and your sin, and that he died on that cross. No one took his life. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it back up again. Amen. And the third one is the resurrection. I'd like to read Romans 1:4, and says that he declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is unique to all of the faiths. You can go through any other religious leader throughout all of history. You can look at Confucius, Muhammad, Buddha. All their deaths are recorded. But none of them can claim that they have been resurrected. Only our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, holds that claim. And there is concrete proof of his resurrection. There are 17 times in the scripture that I have found where Jesus appeared after his resurrection. Four of these are recorded right here in Luke, And we're only going to deal with one this morning. Understand that Luke is the beloved physician. He is a meticulous historian. And he gives every detail needed for you and I to understand that Jesus is alive again. Let me tell you, a doctor would know whether a man was dead and whether he's alive. A doctor would know. All right, let's look first of all at the solemn reflection found in verse 1. In this very first verse, we find these women. They are coming on the first day of the week. Why on the first day, preacher? Remember, the week before was the Passover, okay, which represents the deliverance of Israel from Egypt's bondage. It represents the blood being applied to the doorpost and the lintel. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's what the Passover represents. And they kept the Passover. Hear me, Jesus, when he ate with his disciples in the upper room, they were observing the Passover. From that night, Jesus was arrested and he was taken to a mock trial where they condemned him, where they scourged him, and then they took him and had him crucified. And because the Sabbath was coming, when Jesus died, they rushed to take his body off of that cross. Joseph of Arimathea claimed that body, took the body of Christ, wrapped it up in a linen cloth. I'm not just saying laid it over the body. The Jews did not embalm. Their custom was to take linen and wrap around individual fingers, hands, around the arms, the torso, the legs, and then they would put spices and ointment upon that body to anoint that body, and then they would entomb that body. Listen, and then they would come back after 60 days and after 90 days and do all those things again. The body of Jesus would have been completely wrapped up and put inside that tomb. Amen. Remember, these women and those disciples, they saw Jesus crucified. He was their master. He is their Savior. They saw him so shamefully and spitefully treated. It's a morning of solemn reflection. They remembered that Jesus is dead. That entire Passover Sabbath, their hearts were broken. But they were hardened in that they did not understand. The Passover represents deliverance. They didn't need to be sad, for Jesus was going to arise again and deliver them from the bondage and the oppression of sin. But they did not believe it. And so all weekend they were brokenhearted. They rose early Monday morning. They remembered that Pilate had put out 16 men, the Roman guard, to set a watch over the tomb. 4 facing north, 4 facing south, 4 facing east, and 4 facing west. And they set a cord around that tomb and they put a seal on it, meaning a wax seal. And if that tomb would be moved and that seal is broken, it would cost those guards their very lives. These were the elite of their day. And those women got up with their hearts broken and they said, let's go and anoint his body one more time. And as they start down the road, down the path, they begin to discuss, how are we going to get in there though? There are Roman guards. There's a stone that weighs tons. How are we little women going to be able to get into that tomb and anoint his body? But yet they went anyway, just hoping against hope that they could convince the guards to anoint the body of Jesus one more time. It was a morning of solemn reflections. So many things that they did not know or understand. But there is no doubt their hearts were broken. You remember how you felt when your loved one had died? I'm telling you, your heart was broke. I mean, today it's been a couple years and you still got tears in your eyes and a pain in your heart because your loved one that passed away. They believed that Jesus was dead, and he very much was, for they saw him buried in that tomb. And they didn't know if they'd ever get to see him again. Some solemn reflections in that very first verse. Then in verse 2, we begin to see a startling revelation. When they get there to where the tomb is, the Bible says in verse 2 They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Boy, that startled them. I mean, that great weight, that stone that weighed tons and tons, had been miraculously, mysteriously rolled away. What happened? It was a startling revelation. And then the soldiers. Where are the 16 soldiers? They look around and they're laying out like dead men. Though they're not dead, they've just about become catatonic like little girls as to what they've experienced. You see, they saw the angel and they felt the earthquake as the angel descended and put himself upon that stone and rolled that massive object away. And those soldiers fell on their knees. They'd never seen such a sight. They'd never felt such an experience. And no doubt as they looked in at the last moment, they seen that the tomb was empty themselves. And they fell out on the ground. That was a startling revelation. Then those angels, those women saw those angels. One was seated at the head where Jesus had laid, and one would have been seated at the feet of where Jesus had laid. I want to tell you what, that is a mercy seat experience. You remember the Ark of the Covenant had a lid on the top of it, amen? It was called the mercy seat, and on one end of it there was a golden angel, and on the other end of it there was a golden angel, and they would sprinkle the blood in between, and God said, I will meet with you between the cherubims. That's where my presence will be. Amen. There Jesus has been resurrected. And at that tomb, there sits the angels, one at the head, one at the foot, not golden angels, but real, live, glorified, Holy Ghost sent angels. Amen. And the mercy seat experience is this, that God will meet with us at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I say thank God for that. So they were a startling revelation because of the stone and because of the soldiers and because of those shining angels. And then these sure words. Listen, verse 5. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? In other words, he told you he was going to die on the cross and you saw it. He told you after 3 days he would rise again, and this is the day. You're looking for the resurrection. He's not amongst the dead. He is amongst the living. Oh, hallelujah. That startled them. Listen to the words. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. You may say, preacher, Jesus never said that. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 18. I know you're thinking it. God said, pull a book on them. Luke chapter 18, look, these are Jesus' words. The Bible says in Luke 18, 31, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted upon. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day, he shall rise again. That's a startling revelation. Just to know all these evidences have taken place, they are startled. Number three. I want you to think about the stunning realization. Look in Luke 24, verse number 8. And they remembered his words. He didn't just tell them that one time in Luke 18, but back in Luke 9, about verse 43 or so, time and time again, the Gospels record that Jesus had told them he would give his life and on the third day rise again. And this wonderful, wonderful realization is they remembered his words. Oh yes, he said this would happen. It's just like he, and they have realized Jesus' words are true. Those women, the Bible says that they returned from that sepulcher. Don't you know they were excited? Don't you know they were filled with a time of revival and refreshment inside? They come to where the 11 disciples are, and they begin to tell that Jesus is alive. The Roman guards laying like that dead men. An angel spoke to us. The stone's rolled away. The tomb is empty. It is a miracle that has happened today. But the Bible says in verse 11 that their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now the word for idle tales is word which means delirious. They thought these women were filled with emotionalism. And they were delirious from what they saw. Did you know in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament at this point in time, the Jewish custom was that a woman was not considered a qualified witness because she would be emotional and unstable, and so they didn't credit their witness. But here comes in the Bible, name some of them. The first one was Mary Magdalene. The Scripture says that she had seven demons in her, and Jesus cast those demons out of her. They thought, surely the demons have come back. The other one's name is Joanna. She is the wife of King Herod's steward, Chusa. Surely they're just building this up. And another one named Mary, she was the mother of James the Less. It wasn't one of Peter, James, and John, but it was James the Less, the son of Alphaeus. And other women with them and the disciples, they basically discredit everything they said. These women had a peaceful realization, but when they shared it, others didn't immediately believe. Have you ever had that experience? Oh, when Jesus saved me, and I go and tell others, they look at me like I'm a fool. They think my words are filled with delirium and emotionalism. And my words are as idle tales. But I want to say to you today, if Jesus is not alive, show me the body. Some people say, well, his enemy stole him away. All they got to do is show the body. Some people say his disciples stole him away. Why would they die themselves, martyred for their faith? Some crucified upside down if it were not the truth. You see, Jesus is alive and well. I thank God for that peaceful realization that came. Then it's a powerful realization. Look at verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. Now, Peter begins to think for a minute. I wonder if there's any truth to this. You remember Peter? He had denied the Lord three times. The angel had told the women, according to Mark's gospel, you go tell his disciples and Peter. You see, Peter felt like, I've denied the Lord, and I've done the worst thing I could ever do. Have you ever done the worst thing you could ever do? And you feel like, I'm no longer even a Christian. I'm not worthy of being a Christian. I've been unfaithful. I've been untrue. I've just messed my life up. And you know, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was broken. He had repented. And the angel said, you go tell his disciples and Peter. He goes before you in Galilee. When Peter hears these women say that Jesus is not the tomb, Peter says, I'm going to go find out for myself. He runs down to the tomb, and when he gets there, he sees the guard. Probably now they're gone. He sees the stone rolled away, and he sees the tomb empty. He looks inside, and what he notices is linen clothes laying there. In other words, these linen clothes, they're not just thrown up in a heap. I want to ask you this morning, when some of you fellas, when you got up out of the bed this morning, and you woke up, you took the covers and you throwed them like this, How many of you made your bed? Two, three, four. And they might be lying. I'm just kidding. I didn't say today. I meant, I'm not talking about the other day. I'm talking about today. Seriously. When Jesus arose, he came through. He came through those linen clothes. Peter saw them still wrapped up around fingers and hands. And over the face, there would have been a napkin. That would have been laid like so. When Peter looked, the napkin wasn't in a heap. The napkin was folded. Just like so. And left laying there. And then the rest of the bodies, I mean, Peter could look in. Man, look at that. That thing still should hold somebody, but there ain't nobody in it. I mean, if his enemy stole him, how'd they rewrap a body that wasn't even there? Lord, have mercy. And you know this custom. You know, if you go somewhere and if you say you're done, this is the way you do it. You tell your servants you're done by simply taking your napkin and wadding it up and throwing it down. Says, I'm done. I'm finished. You can clean the table up. I won't be back. But Jesus, according to John's gospel, he didn't just wad up the napkin. He folded the napkin. And that custom is, I've enjoyed my stay. And I'll be back in a little while. Peter saw that. Woo! Yeah, man, that was a powerful realization. And it is a promising realization in that he begins to wonder himself at that which was come to pass. Fourthly, and I'm done, I want us to think about the spiritual repercussions here. The spiritual repercussions. Simon Peter left there wondering. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 says that Jesus was seen by Cephas and then by the other disciples. The word Cephas is a word which means stone. You know whose name is also Cephas' nickname? Simon Peter. Pull a book on you. John chapter 1, I'm glad you asked. John chapter 1, verse 42. Preacher, I don't like all this turning. You need to prove it to the devil. He knows. He knows better than you do. He saw it. He knows the tomb's empty. John 1, 42. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Before Simon Peter ever served him the first day, the Lord said, you will be called Cephas one day. You will deny me three times, but you will have a stone-like faith in me one day. Simon Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to give you these repercussions real quick. First of all, these repercussions are Jesus' resurrection. It defeats death power. You see, death has a hold on all of us. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, death reigns over every one of us. And when death, every victim, death held. You say, wait a minute, Lazarus, he didn't hold. Yeah, because Jesus raised him. But Lazarus had to die again. If he didn't, Lazarus is walking around here today and CNN still has not found him. Okay? Only Jesus has been resurrected in a glorified body. He is the first fruits of them which slept. The spiritual repercussion is death has lost his hold. Jesus is alive and resurrected. Not only that, but I believe it also teaches right here that the rapture, it's going to defeat death's power to kill people. You realize that, you know, I think about my grandpa just died. Death got a hold of him, but grandpa went on home. Everybody, listen, everybody, every one of us is going to die. But Jesus said there's going to come a time of rapture. Preacher, I don't believe in the rapture because the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, la-di-da-da. I don't believe in you because your name's not in the Bible. But you're still here. In fact, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And did you know the word missions is not in the Bible? But we have a missions program of over 40 missionaries that go out every month. But the word is not in the Bible. Preacher Darren, I didn't know that. Hey, just because rapture's not in the Bible, the word itself doesn't mean it's not taught. The Greek word is the word harpazo, and it's going to take us away. When Simon Peter saw that napkin, he knew that it meant that Jesus would come again and rapture home the saints of God. That's a doctrine that was wonderfully taught. Last of all, the reign of Christ will destroy death's kingly power. I think about the reign of Christ. You know, the Bible says that from Adam, death is reigned. Because of Jesus, death no longer reigns. Jesus reigns as king and as authority. I heard this story. And I think it means a lot to me because years ago, my family and I were looking at a house. We were praying about buying a house. And we were out looking at a house, and my little girl, she walked up to a window, and she put her hand there on the windowsill, and a wasp stung her. She was screaming bloody murder. And I thought right then, that's a sign. It's not the house for us. So we left it, and we kept looking. There was a little girl one time that her and her little brother and her mother, they were going through a house, and one of these bumblebees that they say won't sting you, stung him. Stung him big time. It began to swell up, and he was screaming bloody murder, and the bee was a-buzzing all around. And the little girl was swatting at it. She was scared, running up underneath her mother's dress tail. Mommy, mommy, don't let him get me. And she looked down at the brother, and he had a big old pump knot on his arm already. And she said, "It's all right, sister, come out." She said, "That bee has left his stinger in brother. And that bee can't hurt you now. Death has no sting. The grave has no victory." Why? Because it stung brother and left his stinger behind. And brother got up victorious over death and victorious over the grave and victorious over hell. And none of those things can lay hold on us now because big brother says, no longer do you need to be afraid, and let death reign over you. Let Jesus reign over you. I want to say to you this morning, from the depths of my heart, I know Jesus is alive. Not just because of what the Scripture says, but because of what He's done for me. If you could just see the change that's come in my life since Jesus saved me, I could take you to countless number of people. You that scoff and say, "I don't believe that stuff." Can I get a witness? Jesus has changed lives. Oh, I was a wicked servant of sin till Jesus saved me that day. Well, I've got a personal experience with you. And I'm going to ask you to stand. All heads bowed. I know there's a huge crowd that's gathered here. I know that. And I want to ask you, stay still just for a minute. Your head bowed, nobody looking. I want to ask you a question. Have you really been saved? Right here at chapel Thursday morning, God saved 5 precious souls that have heard preacher after preacher after preacher, but Thursday morning, the Holy Ghost came by and touched their hearts and brought them to a place of conviction. I wonder this morning, how about you, sir, ma'am? Preacher Darren, I want to go to heaven so bad. I've said I'm a Christian, but I've never really asked Him to save me. Look, everybody look at me right now. You're this close to an old-fashioned altar and called on the name of Jesus. You're this close to going to heaven. You're this close. But I want you to look towards that door there, or that door there, or that door there, the one back here. You're that close to walking out and you may never be spoken to by God again about being saved. And you may forever doom your soul. You may say, well, I don't believe it. That's your business. But you're not going to say to me that that preacher on Easter morning didn't tell me. I believe with all my heart, honey, young lady, you look at me. I don't care if you're with some boy. I don't care if you're with your friends. The best friend you'll ever have is Jesus Christ. And the thing you need to do this morning, your heart's beating out of your chest and you don't know why, preacher, I'm uncomfortable. It's because you're in sin and he wants to save you. Now you bow your head again. I want to ask you, Preacher Darren, pray for me, I'm not saved. I'm going to put my hand up, write that down. Pray for me, Preacher Darren, I'm not saved. God see the hand. Anybody pray for me, Preacher Darren, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? Preacher Darren, I wonder sometimes. I said I'm saved, but Preacher Darren, I don't remember a thing about it. Anybody else? Preacher Darren, I need to be saved. Some of you Christians, hit this altar. Come on. Come on. Jesus is worthy and Jesus is able. Come on, you pray. There may be some folks here today, you just say, I want to get in this altar just to thank him. Oh, if you just knew what he did for me. How he cast the demons out of my life. He cast sin out of my life. He changed my life forever. And I know when I share it, it seems as idle tales, but I pray that God would hear me today as I bow my knee to worship him. I wonder, maybe there's somebody here today to say, Preacher Darren, I'm one of the ones that raised my hand and I want to be saved. Would you come and pray with me, Preacher Darren? I want to call on Jesus today and make him my Lord and Savior. Would you slip up your hand as you come? I saw hands. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. You please find me. You please find me. Before we leave this house today, you're this close. This close to getting right with God. Father, this morning, an invitation only you can give by the Holy Ghost today. Father, I believe with all my heart you sent your Son to die in my place to bear my sin. I believe with all my heart even history would record itself that Jesus was real and that he died on a cross and that he was buried. Father, the scriptures record for us that Jesus had power to lay down his life and he had power to take it back again. Lord, you know that I've talked to doctor after doctor and not one of them can say that Jesus had gone through so much that he would have died, but yet he truly just stopped his own life and then he took it back again on the first day of the week. Lord, I want to thank you for bearing my sin and making the payment, paying the penalty of my sin. And I want to thank you personally for how you've saved me and the promises you've made me that you're coming again to take me to be with you forever. Lord, I pray now, God, as we worship Jesus, God, there are others in our midst today. They cannot testify that they've really been born again through the blood of Christ. God, I pray for them today that the Holy Ghost would show the goodness of God to them so great they would be compelled to bow and call the name of Jesus. God, give them courage, I pray. And Lord, I pray, God, if you have to, you would show them hell and the damnation and torment that awaits them. God, if they walk away, help them, Lord, I pray. Do it for Jesus' sake. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen.